You're a guest there.
Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Karen Cabrin. 12 years ago, my 16-year-old daughter informed me she wanted to go into law enforcement as a career. I was relieved when she chose to do that in Siskiyou County, where she was born and raised. But I was shocked to find out how little our deputies are actually paid to strap on a gun, wear a bulletproof vest, and put their lives on the line many times when they go to work. The Sheriff's Department has provided many trainings, such as canine handling, swift water rescue, dive training, water safety, to name a few. This allows officers to pick up extra work as well as extra pay for that work. I have volunteered my time and rafting equipment on a couple of occasions to assist the Sheriff's dive team to search for missing persons thought to be lost in our local rivers. The officers involved were highly trained divers with swift water knowledge, going above and beyond their regular daily sheriff duties, and sometimes on their regular days off. It is my understanding that the extra pay for these extra jobs might be going away. Many of us, including myself, have made financial sacrifices just to be able to live and raise our families in Siskiyou County. But law enforcement is one of the occupations where I do not feel the officers should have to make those financial sacrifices and take such risks just to barely get a living wage. Our county has had relatively little crime in the 34 years that I have lived here, but all that is changing, and it changed about the time my daughter made her career decision. Increased crimes in the form of illicit drug sales, use, theft, and even murders are finding their way into Siskiyou County. The price of public safety should be a top priority in determining our officers' pay. The risk that they take to ensure our public safety should be compensated accordingly. I am asking the county, the Board of Supervisors, and the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office to make the only right decision in determining the rate of pay for our sheriff deputies by giving them a needed wage increase and bring them to the levels that they should be paid for the risk that they take for us every night and every day, and the stress that goes along with those risks. Otherwise, you may lose more officers to other jobs if that right decision is not made. Thank you for allowing me to speak on behalf of our law enforcement officers.
Thank you. Under Sheriff Randall, and then Sheriff LaRue, after Mr. Randall.
Good morning, Chairman Chris and members of the board. I am here before you to offer my viewpoint of the current state of the Sheriff's Department from the vantage point of the undersheriff. We are currently faced with the effects of 10 plus years of not addressing issues properly, and they are all coming to a head at the same time. For whatever reason, things were not budgeted for properly, fought for, replaced, renewed, or addressed appropriately. I was not involved, nor do I know if any of you were involved, and I cannot comment accurately on how we got there and how we got to this point. I also am not casting any blame. Just recognizing that all of these issues and concerns have all reached the point in which they must be corrected or rectified or face dire consequence. Some of the most notable issues that we are faced with: salaries of our employees are top. For records, fiscal and civil clerks to deputies and dispatchers, all are well underpaid for what they do. I know that this has been verbally recognized by the board, of which I am appreciative of, but feel it does need to be stated again. I value each of our department family very much, and I am very aware that they do not make what they are worth, especially in this time of inflation. Fast food work earns more take-home money to pay the bills than some of our career-type jobs that require dealing with the worst society has to offer. We have an incredibly aged vehicle fleet with unsafe high mileage and use on almost all of our patrol fleet. The county mechanic does an amazing job of trying his best to keep them running. However, we have reached the point where some of the vehicles that were placed on the deadline, in which they shouldn't be running on the roads anymore, have been put back into service just to keep deputies on the road, which is incredibly unsafe for them. And of course, staffing. A 1985 schedule, which I found when we moved our office from Lane Street to where we are at now, had more patrol deputies on the schedule than we currently have. And they only had one contract at that time, which was the City of Montague, and it required one deputy to work in the City of Montague. One out of that entire schedule. We now have three contract cities and a contract with the Superior Court in which all contracts pay for law enforcement services. When I started in 1999, we staffed county deputy positions and contract deputy positions separately. with the contract city positions being paid for by the cities. Over the years, and partly due to budgetary constraints, the county positions were being supplemented with the contract positions. This also resulted in a change in how our contracts were drawn up to replace positions in a contract to an hourly obligation instead. The result of this may have been more financially sound for the county, providing only the amount of service in which a city could pay for, but took away the ownership and personability that came along with it, which is detrimental to efficient law enforcement. Due to our current level of staffing, we are focusing on staffing our contract obligations and mandatory staffing of the jail by patrol staff, as well as patrol staff covering dispatch duties. Our managers are being pulled away from administrative manager duties in order to cover shifts on patrol and in dispatch. Due to patrol already being short-staffed, in addition to picking up slack in both the jail and dispatch, as well as focusing the remaining patrol staff on our contract obligations, we are currently operating at dangerously low staffing levels. Mr. Chair, may I have another minute or two?
Yes, Mr. Chair, yes.
Another major challenge we face is in regard to hiring and recruitment of new deputies. Without competitive salaries to those of surrounding agencies, as well as some of the local Siskiyou County agencies, we immediately lose potential candidates. We lose the ability to attract quality employees, and we have no intention of lowering any standards in order to hire or recruit any new deputies, but it definitely makes things more difficult. We have a lot of professional, loyal, and hardworking, and generally incredible men and women that work for the Sheriff's Department. I am constantly amazed with them, especially in times like the present, in which they are stressed to the max. We need to do whatever we can to retain these men and women, providing them with the competitive wages they deserve, with a feeling of worth to the county and from the board, to replace and correct equipment deficiencies, and to let them know we are serious when we say we recognize and acknowledge the things that need to change and improve if we want to truly value them and want them to continue to be here. Even though I am not in a position to have intimate knowledge of how the current negotiations with the DSA are going, I have seen morale crushed and heard talk in the hallways. The talk in the hallways regarding how the negotiations have transpired and things that have been said to the DSA that has led to the majority of the negative morale, if found true, are disturbing and disheartening. I would also like to note that since becoming the undersheriff, I have been more involved in matters related to issues brought before the Board of Supervisors. I have listened and watched as each of the supervisors has always shown and voiced their support for our county's law enforcement. Yes, things get questioned as they should, and I encourage them to always be, but overall there has been unwavering support for the Sheriff's Department. I have tried to convey this to our men and women as they struggle with their contract negotiations, but I fear that too often it gets overlooked in misunderstandings or feelings that they are being devalued. I know your job and decisions you'll be faced with in the future regarding the Sheriff's Department may not be easy, but I am confident that whatever action the board takes will be one in support of the men and women who stand up to fight and defend the great citizens of our county. Law enforcement has been a target of hate and a scapegoat for those that do not want to accept responsibility for their own actions for far too long. We are blessed to have a department with many professional and devoted deputies that truly believe in this county and in protecting every resident and person passing through. Even more so, we are blessed to live and work in a county that still supports and believes in its local law enforcement. My request, as the negotiations with the Deputy Sheriff's Association continues, is simple. Please make it a point to show that they are valued for their sacrifices and service to this county and appreciated for doing a duty in which their lives are constantly on the line to stand up for those that cannot themselves. We as a county cannot afford to lose any more men or women and adequately provide the proper law enforcement services that our great citizens deserve. I will do everything I can in my role as an undersheriff to fix the problems of the past and push for a positive future, and I ask that you do the same in your roles. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Undersheriff.
If I could get your name for the record.
Oh, James Randall.
James.
Wendy, you do not know who our undersheriff is?
I don't know everybody. I'm sorry.
Sheriff LaRue?
My turn.
Your turn, sir.
We're still smiling, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Just checking. I've got 3 minutes for the sheriff. Okay, I'll try to be good on that, I promise. Well, Chairman Chris and fellow supervisors, I appreciate this opportunity to come before you and speak with you. I do want to say I do support you, and I appreciate all that you've shown over the years to the sheriff's office and me personally in the last couple years. I know everybody has a difficult job in the county and also in your positions. I want my employees that are here, it's a good show, to know that I deeply value them and appreciate all that they do for me and the community, and it's tough to really put that into words at times. They go through very challenging moments, as you've heard today, and just want them to know that they're fully supported and loved as family. When I became sheriff in October of 2020, I saw a renewed hope in the agency. Employees were excited about the future and hopeful of the change that was to come. Things were looking up. Unfortunately, during the negotiation process, it really hit the department hard. And it didn't take long before people were very vocal about the unpleasant experience. Now with that, I, as a former president of the Deputy Sheriff's Association, I recall going through negotiations, and it was interesting, to say the least. However, in the 16 years that I've been here, I can honestly tell you I've never seen negotiations lead to such a breakdown in the confidence of the county, and this perception is very concerning to me. And if that's anything to take away, that would be it. Negotiations can be challenging, but it shouldn't create confusion and distrust. So I can't lay out everything. You've heard a lot. I'll try to be quick. And I can tell you that the morale is at the lowest I've ever seen. And staffing's obviously awful, as you've heard. And it tears me up every day. And I can't even tell you how difficult it is to convey, how painful it is to have employees walk in your office at the end of the day to let you know that they're leaving. For various reasons. Pay is always one of them. But we have people that have been homegrown, that we pride ourselves in having, that are comprised of people that live here. And those are the ones that are leaving. Not just people using it as a stepping stone, but our people that love this community and want to serve here. So I've been neutral, as you have, during this negotiation process, but I believe that we can be better. I don't want to reiterate what you've already heard, but we can be creative and flexible and work alongside each other to get to something that is beneficial for everybody. These employees deserve a lot more than they are receiving. But again, I believe that there is difficulty in determining what the intentions of the county have been, and there's a lot of confusion, and I think rules of engagement were not explained very clearly to the union, and I think that has led to a lot of the failures. Staffing levels are lower than in 1985, as you have heard. We're currently at 50% or less capacity in our staffing, and our dispatch is at 44%. That's 24/7 operation. We can't afford to have that. And so I want you to know that I'm highly motivated to carry out my oath and mission and lead these people wherever I can take them, but I need the employees to do that. And I just ask that you help us navigate through this and understand and listen and hear where people are coming from. We want to be transparent. We ask that the county do the same. And we are more than happy to continue these discussions. I want to thank everybody for their time here. There's a lot of emotion, as you can see, but that's because we care for each other. And we have to stand up and do what's right. So just keep an open mind moving forward. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. That I'm going to bring the discussion up. Wait, Ms. Holly, not yet. With that, I'm going to bring the discussion up to the Board of Supervisors.
Through the chair.
The public comment? Right. Oh, understood. I thought you were talking about election.
Right. For this item?
Yes. And also, can I ask online?
Absolutely. All right. Ms. Holly Hanser? Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello? I was so honored to come in this room with these wonderful men and women and our law enforcement sheriffs, who I've always loved and respected from afar, just in general. And I'm hearing this witness, and I encourage you to, I don't even think you guys realized how bad it was, it sounds like. So I encourage you to... first of all, watch 2,000 Mules. 2,000 Mules. I know, but this has to do with our sheriffs. Today in Nevada, there's a constitutional sheriff thing to see what we can do for our issues in America. But also, sheriffs are very key for many things, including elections, even though this is for sheriffs. So I think that if we can, and this is to do with sheriffs, eventually kick those machines down the road, don't give the contract to Dominion, and instead increase the rate for our deputy sheriff, whatever it is, like tenfold, and throw that CRAP to the side. We need one person, one vote, and we need integrity. But this has to do with sheriffs because I am not that good to defend myself. And I call police. I live in Mead, but also sometimes I need to call the sheriff because I also have properties in the county. And I cannot do it on my own. I've had cars stolen, I've had this stolen, that stolen, you know, and they can't even do anything. And we have an issue. I believe that our governor, you know, was really recalled, but there was the election thing. So we need to have our vote because our vote counts. And this is what I'm saying is please do, you all love sheriffs, right? You guys, we like the good guys, right? I mean, some people want to be bad, but even the sheriffs can be bad in a good way, right? But not corrupt. So we love our sheriffs. I'm very glad to meet our new sheriff. And I'm not saying everything perfectly, but I just wanted to say thank you for heeding them. And it sounds like that negotiator also needs to be thrown out and get another one. Maybe you can negotiate for them instead. So throw them out, throw the crap out, excuse my friendships. And throw the bad stuff out, and let's keep the good, and the sheriff guys are our good guys. And St. Michael the Archangel, kick butt for them, and continue. And I'm not even Catholic. All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you, Chancellor. The two that hands that were raised up there were for the other item, I believe. Ms. Sana?
Every 80%.
All right. So that... get the pleasure of bringing this back to the board. I'll take a little chair prerogative and speak first. I greatly appreciate the passion the deputy sheriff has done here, as well as the professionalism you're presenting before us. There is a value there. You know, personally, I volunteer on the ambulance crew there in Butte Valley, and I've showed up and seen you guys doing CPR because you guys get there before we do. I've also seen the deputy sheriffs. Not to evoke emotion, but when someone passes away, us volunteer ambulance crew members get to continue CPR, but we don't make the final decision. You guys do. It's greatly appreciated that the professionalism you handle that when you tell a spouse or you tell them of those issues there. So just wanted to bring those things up, your value here, and I'll bring this to the board. Any board comments? Supervisor Copsen.
So one of the things that we're all under, because none of us in the room are enemy against enemy here, and I want that clear. I value each department within the county family. Not one more so over another. Yes, public safety is high priority. It shows that in the budget. One of the things that we are confronted with, though, unfortunately, and it's not the negotiator's fault or your representative's fault, but bottom line is the rules of engagement are kind of taken by the state of California. And that puts that awkward position that we all put ourselves in, because I've been on the side of the negotiating teams on the Board of Supervisors in the past, where I sat in the room outside while the negotiation was taking place, because there was distrust with the Board of Supervisors, there was distrust with the negotiator at the time. I've been there, done that. So have many of you in the room. And it's always awkward, because we all know that if we get in the room one-on-one, it's an easier time. But the rules of engagement have been set forth by the state of California. There was value placed on this department a few years back. I'm not sure how many, it might be three or four, where we opened the door to increase wages by 10%. I don't want that unrecognized by John Q. Public. I want the public to understand that we try to do what we can, when we can, and recognize the difficulty that the department is up against. Sheriff Lopey at the time, brought up that there was a wage disparity, and the board addressed that. I don't know that we'll ever get ahead of the curve with the inflation and the cost of living that we're dealing with now. I have to put that aside. I've read the report from the fact-finding report. I believe there's there's probably accurate information in there as well as inaccurate information. But if you read the last page of the document, I don't see where we're far off on what we have said is on the table still. My understanding is that with what is on the table available currently with the, correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Davis, but it's 801, I think, is what is on the table currently, plus whatever else we've talked about, but I'm just going to focus on that momentarily. My understanding is that we cannot dialogue with you until your representative contacts our representative and comes back to the table. That's my understanding. And quite frankly, if that's all that's holding us up, I don't know why we aren't getting to the meat of the matter sooner. There's money on the table, I'll call it that way. And since January or February or even August back whenever we began this, there's dollars that have not been acquired because of the structure that we both sides find ourselves in. I don't agree with that structure, but I can't change it. It isn't something that the Board of Supervisors can wave the wand and say, we're going to throw all this out and deal with it in a different way. I wish we could. I think it's incumbent upon this board, and it's incumbent upon your representation to work together, and I'm going to say it this way, and not badmouth each other. When I have put what's on the table out to the public, I've been called a liar. And I take exception to that. But I'm not going to hold that against you all, because that's not my role. What you're putting forward is legitimate. What we're putting forward is legitimate from our side, which is on the table. But the bottom line is, until your representative, and if I'm wrong on this, your representative, call me out on it. Please do. But if your representative is supposed to contact our representative, whether you like him or not, he still answers to this board. That's the open door to getting this thing settled. And if I'm incorrect in that, please someone stand up and call me out on it now. And I'm willing to take
your representative.
Hey, sir, have a right to come up. No, don't worry about it. Just come up to the microphone so we can hear you on the record. So you're here at Supervisor Kopsa's request, so absolutely respected. Just say your name for the record, sir.
Detective Levi Machado, been with the department about 20 years. Your representative, Mr. Michael Jarvis, is the one that declared impasse.
We are in impasse, but what this board has not declared to impose. We have said that there is a document that we have made public that is on the table, but we cannot get to the table until your representative contacts our representative and we're back at the table. And that's the rules of engagement.
I believe there's been numerous emails between them. I'll go through them.
Are you the representative for the DSA?
I'm a WAD negotiations team.
Who's the representative for the DSA?
Ron Copeland?
Yes.
So has he contacted our representative?
Yes.
I believe so.
Numerous. And said you want to come back to the table?
To my knowledge, he did, yes.
Okay, to my knowledge, I don't know that. But Ms. Davis, we're hearing that they want to come back to the table. Is that what I'm hearing? If per the rules of engagement, because this is the only way we can get there.
When he declared impasse, then asked for a special meeting, and we went to that one, and then...
Is he here?
Mr. Jarvis?
Yeah. No, Mr. Coker.
No.
I don't see.
Yeah, it was on March 22nd. This email here. Hello, Ron. We're declaring impasse. That's what it says. There's a whole paragraph here. And then... but that was on the 22nd of March. You tried to talk, and that was actually quite sudden. We were in the middle of negotiations, and he just declared impasse and said, oh, by the way, if you don't take this deal, we're going to give you the 0% raise, 15% medical.
But that has not occurred. The board has to vote on that, and this board has not done that.
I'm aware of that, okay. But we couldn't do that because of fact-finding. Fact-finding, the report just came out, what?
Understood.
Today.
Understood. Well, it came out last week, didn't it?
Yes. I only saw it the last couple of days. Correct.
It was made public today when we did talk about it. Because that's overwhelmingly in our favor.
My question was, By the rules of engagement, once your representative contacts our representative, that puts us back at the table. Until that time, my understanding is we can't do anything. We can sit here and dialogue about it for as long as we want, but we need to be, both of us, back at the table to figure it out.
Well, I understand that, but you speak about the rules of engagement, and like Detective Masson said prior to...
We're under the rules of engagement from a higher authority than ourselves. Both sides.
I'm just going to kind of jump in here. Ms. Davis?
Yeah.
Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator, I'll be more than happy to contact our negotiator and have him contact Mr. Copeland today again and have him reach out, and we will absolutely come back to take what we've just been in right now at the juncture of after an impasse and after the fact-finding. We have to wait for that approach, but we'll be more than happy to do that. So I can guarantee you and confirm that our labor negotiator has not been contacted, and but that doesn't prohibit us, and I will say that we can have them contacted today, so we can come back to the table.
And like, you know, I was saying before, on the 22nd, he declared impasse quite suddenly, threatened to give us nothing if we didn't accept this other deal. Like, hey, if we don't get through this meeting, next we're going to go to impasse. It was just all of a sudden impasse, and then we went to fact-finding, and we've been waiting that whole time. Today's literally the first day we could, fact-finding for us was over. It's actually, the 11th? But that's a weekend, so it falls till today. So there was no, we want to come back and negotiate. We were in the fact-finding process. Your negotiator declared impasse.
We're in a place now that I'm hearing we all want to come back to the table. Is that correct? Yeah. So that opens the door.
So... I'm going to go ahead. Sounds like this has been talked thoroughly. Did you share anything else, Supervisor Crimson?
I'm just going to add one more thing. I know Ms. Davis, and clarify again for me on this. We were approached with regard to that we declined to do, the Board of Supervisors declined to do the salary survey contract. It was my understanding that this board wanted to convey to all of the units, is this where we want to spend $96,000? Is it a useful tool? Is it a useful way to get to where we're all going to come to an agreement? Or can that money be better spent into the actual structure of what we're talking about in negotiations? So we did not cancel, in my understanding, if we said we want to go back to the units and get their input prior to making a decision on what we do with that salary survey. So, am I correct in that?
That is correct, and we do have a joint issues forum with all units already scheduled to discuss that matter.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Supervisor Copstead, for pointing it out. Last meeting we had that on consent folder to discuss it, so thank you. I can't go to anybody else because you stopped. I appreciate it, but I just stick it up here for right now. Supervisor Valenzuela, anything else?
No.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah. Let me just start off with this. You know, I've been around too long, unfortunately. Negotiations are not getting easier. They're getting worse. And I remember when I first got elected, I know Supervisor Copstead was here. I mean, we cut 20% of the workforce across the board, and I don't think we've ever recovered. Our budget is based, you're a general funded entity. Takes the lion's share, rightfully so. That's true of all counties, the general fund. My budget's been flatlined. Someone made the comment about we pay the doctor $200,000. We only have one doctor. You gotta have a doctor. We have to have a doctor. You can't find them. I appreciate each and every one of you. I inherently know, because my dad was an MP in the service, combat veteran, decorated. My cousins were law enforcement, police chief of a big mid-sized town. I have regular conversations with the sheriff, and Sheriff LaRue, if you would just kind of say that we came up with some brainstorming ideas, constantly working with that. I know some of you over the years, Mr. Towers, Mr. Merrill, Mr. Kubowitz, I routinely come, Mr. Wetstein, when I'm down there in Dunsmuir, I come and I say, how's it going? What do I need to know? You know, the problem is we're in negotiations. I think Supervisor Cobb kind of alludes to this. We can't negotiate, have a conversation. What we should be doing and moving forward is having the conversation routinely. You're the president. You've never reached out to me as a supervisor, as the decision maker, ahead of the curve, after the curve. Let's meet quarterly. Supervisor Proctor, did we not meet with the deputy sheriff 7 years back and we said, let's do this regularly. Let's meet with the hierarchy so we can get things on the table and have backside discussions because we can't find a negotiator, just like we can't find sheriff's deputies. I want each and every one of you, if it's the almighty dollar and there's more money, I understand raising a family. I did it with two kids. Please go chase the almighty dollar. I will always try to find money to pay more here. We will never be able to pay what's going on elsewhere. So thank you for bringing up all the border counties because I think as a supervisor, what do we make, 37.5? 37.5. I got rural counties that are poorer than us are paying 60 grand a year. But we accept the job, we accept the role, and we manage limited resources. The toughest thing for a supervisor is to allocate limited resources to all the needs. Someone brought up, I think Mr. Randall, about the vehicles. Did we not just come a contract with the enterprise to replace vehicles? We've stepped up to the plate. That was me bringing so we can lease a vehicle so we can get the vehicles that you guys take home, if I'm not mistaken, right? And I don't know many departments that do that. I don't want to make sausages in public. I want to tell you that I value you. I understand the stress that you're going on. Again, inherently, because my background dictates that I know what goes on. I've reached out. I go out of my way when I see you on the street to say hello, shake your hand. It's a tough, tough time. It's not going to get any easier. I would say, I think you heard direction. Negotiate. Get to the table. Let's work. And then moving forward, let's start getting how we're going to do it better. What's going on here is going on everywhere in every county because I'm the president of the State Association of Counties, and I talk to my peers, and they're under the same duress. The department's under the same duress. This is not a good time to be in law enforcement like it was when we were flexible. We had money and we can do it. It's not going to get any easier. I am committed to doing the best I can. I have always done that. As a union man, I am always going to struggle to find that dollar. I argue routinely about where we allocate resources. And we all have different perspectives, but every one of us on this board values each of you individually. Always have, always will. The fact of those personalities, because that's what it is when it comes to negotiations, unfortunately, and we can't be there, we can't see it. So, you know, I have to take your word for it if you're telling me you were there and you saw this. You always said one part of the email, I would love to see the whole email. You just made that public record, by the way. So, you know, I mean, it goes both ways. But I'm committed to making this move forward because this is not going to get easier, it's going to get worse, and hopefully we'll get this behind us, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you,
Supervisor Valenzuela. Supervisor Hopp?
Yeah, different tact for me. I will say that I have a long history of managing very large workforces professionally. This position confounds me constantly because most of you know me, I'm from a standpoint, if we have a disagreement, we'll get in the room and we'll work it out. Well, I can't do that, and I'm always relying on third-party fact and innuendo and everything else from both sides in negotiations. So it's a tenuous, at best, situation to be in. But that said, I mean, there were some hurtful things said today. I try the best I can to support you any way I can. In fact, I would sacrifice other departments to pay you as much as I possibly could. And that's always my prevailing thought. My other prevailing thought every morning when I get up, the two things that confront me most, number one, crime. I can't get out of it, you know. So it makes absolutely no sense to take the position that we're not supporting that because, first off, that's the number one thing on my constituents list as well. And I'm not going to go against what they want and what I see happening to my county. I mean, this county has changed dramatically just in the last 5 years. But it's a downhill slide that I can't tolerate. So the only thing that I see is more officers on the street and pay them enough money to stay here. So I'm going to work as hard as I can to get you there. Part of that, what I heard today, which is news to me, we're waiting for an invitation to come back to the table. I beg you to do that so that we can get to a reasonable conversation about completing a contract that meets your needs and balances the county's finances. But that said, you know, I've also been around long enough in politics that things that are said often fall off, if you will, and don't cloud my judgment. I try as best I can, both in my Christian faith, to be objective in the job I do. And regardless of what's said on both sides, whatever decision I make going forward is going to be without malice or retribution toward any one group. Leave it at that and beg you to come back to the table, because I want you to get paid. I want to cure this issue. And I know the number one issue that I consider a number one issue from where I sit looking at the Sheriff's Department is stressed out individuals that are suffering both mentally and physically from the demands put on in the job that you're in. Because it's difficult work, and if you're doing twice as much of it, it doesn't help you at all. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. And like I said, please come back.
I thank you, Supervisor Howe. And Supervisor Organ, I think this is the pleasure of your first negotiation. So.
Well, not exactly, because I've done this before different places, but. Yeah, I don't want to belabor this too long. Everybody said what I believe as well. I do care very much, and I'll get emotional because you are all emotional. Very much for all of you. And this is tough. And I've had to use your services before, and I appreciate that. And I value you very much, and like Supervisor Halp said, please come back to the table. We beg you to come back to the table. You're important to everybody in this county, and the problem is you can't get blood from a turnip, so we can only give you what we can give you to the best of our ability. So there's that part of it as well. If I could give you my salary, I would. It's very small. It won't help. But I'd give it to you if I could. Because I didn't take this job to get rich. Not financially, anyway. You're the backbone of this community, and we value that. So we'll do what we can to help you get what you need. But as the other supervisors have said, there are rules that we have to live by in order to help you. And they're very constraining and constricting. So there's only so much we can do within those laws. And we're only given the information in pieces after the fact. You guys are the ones that are there. You are the ones that are negotiating, and you have that committee to do it. And we trust that you're getting the proper information, and it's valuable information. And we also hope that, you know, just as we get emotional and then have to put that aside and get practical, that you're practical about it as well. And it never seems that, and I've been on your side of the fence when it comes to negotiations, that you win, you settle. So you have to look at that practically and pragmatically and take what you think is the best that you can get at the time and hope that you can move forward with that. And hope that moving forward, it's as good as you're going to get at the time.
and then hope that your next negotiation will be as good or better. And that the pride in what you do and your satisfaction in your job can help you move forward with hopefully what you gain from your negotiation as well. And we'll do the best we can to get you that. But please go back to the table. Don't walk away. And stay in your jobs because we need you. Thanks.
And I think to show the support, you know, in other areas, other counties, other cities, there were candidates that ran for office based upon defunding the police. And in those, some of those jurisdictions, people were elected to office by the local public for defending, to defend the police. None of us supervisors up here ran on that platform. None of us ran on the platform of defunding or cutting sheriff's deputies or the law enforcement branch. So I think that should be, hopefully that's some sort of sign to the deputy sheriffs that the Board of Supervisors support for law enforcement. And of course we can't negotiate right now, but with that, I'm gonna go ahead and take probably a 3 to 5 minute break, let everybody clear, then we'll get to election interrogatory. Now for the election interrogatory folks, I did let the deputy sheriffs talk beyond 3 minutes. I'm going to hold you to 3, okay? We're going to hold you to 3 to
pursue. No, not okay.
All right. So with that, thank you.